We're here and we're on our way to heaven. God has taken care of us. Colossians chapter 1. This is a meat and potatoes sermon. It's basic, amen? We're going to read from verses 1 down to verse 14. Colossians 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this morning, if the Lord would help me, I'd like to preach on the subject, redemption, forgiveness, and deliverance. Redemption, forgiveness, and deliverance. Lord, bless your word today. Forgive me my sins, Lord, and cleanse me and wash me in your blood this morning. May the Holy Ghost of God be with us here in power, and may we grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be more like him. May we strive to be better Christians. May we, Lord, walk as you would have us to walk. God, I pray again for those that are ill today, please touch them. And Lord, for every person that's made it out here today, I pray a blessing. I pray, God, that we go out of here different than we came in. And Lord, just have your way in this service. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for loving us. And amen. I want you to notice, first of all, here, as we read this, in verse 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul speaks about the love that these people had, their brotherly love. Verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. And then in verse 8, it says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And Wednesday night I talked a little bit about love, and I read to you a verse that Jesus said in John chapter 13. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then he said this, by this shall all men know, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So one of the Jesus said, the characteristic. Certainly one of the main characteristics that should identify us as Christians is our love for one another. Would y'all agree with that? Mm-hmm. We're to love each other. And by the way, that doesn't just mean people that go to this church. That means all Christians. We're to love everybody who loves the Lord Jesus in sincerity and truth. So we see that here at the church at Colossae, these people loved one another. I'm glad to tell you this morning that I feel like we have a church that people love one another. I'm glad for that. I wouldn't want to be in a place where it was different than that. Amen. And if I see some of you not acting right, I'm going to call you down, right? Mm-hmm. We need to love one another. Yeah. We just have to. We need each other, don't we? Yeah. We're living in a world that's just a mess, and society around us is a mess, and sometimes our families are a mess, and sometimes our friends are a mess. What I'm trying to tell you is Christians need one another. Amen. We need to love one another. Then I'll notice that in this chapter, here in this portion of Scripture, that he talks about fruit. The gospel brings forth fruit. A profession of faith that doesn't bring forth fruit is a dead profession. Or as we talked about earlier in Sunday school, a faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. As Christians, we're to be fruitful Christians. You know, Wednesday night was such a great... I really had a good time. I have to be honest with you. There were several times last week where Wednesday night come to my mind and I saw an opportunity to do good. Did anybody else feel that? Experience that? I mean, it's like the Lord said, okay, practice what you preach, dum-dum.
Amen.
The Bible tells us we're to do good, doesn't it? And we're to love one another. So verse 9, for this cause, Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. His will is clearly revealed in the Bible, isn't it? His will is clearly revealed in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit, God has given us his Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us. And the Bible says that we're to pray for wisdom. All I'm trying to tell you is today that all these things are available to each and every one of us. Amen. All these things are available. And the purpose of this knowledge, you see what he says there? He says that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. The purpose of this knowledge is not to be puffed up. It's not so you and I can say, well, I'm smarter than you are. Or I know more than you do. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that we would have more wisdom and spiritual understanding, be strengthened and do good and have fruit.
Amen.
It's not to make us something. We're nothing.
Right.
We'll always be nothing. But it's to make him something. It's to glorify Jesus Christ. So it's so that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And we're to be fruitful. We're to be fruitful Christians. Mm-hmm. And we're to be strengthened. Notice what it says, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You and I can't be a Christian. We can't live the Christian life in our own strength.
That's right.
We'll fail miserably.
Amen.
We have to depend on the Lord for our strength, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to... It's according to his glorious power. Then notice what it says. It says, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So today as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we need. We need that. We need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. We need to have wisdom. And we need to have spiritual understanding. Now that doesn't come easy. By that I mean this, you don't naturally have it. These are things God has to do for us. He has to help us, doesn't he?
bruised. And the reason is so we can walk worthy. Pleasing the Lord and being fruitful in every good work. We need to increase in the knowledge of God, and for us to accomplish that, we need His strength. We need His strength. We need His power. Because true Christianity is a life of patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. True Christianity is a life of patience. Does it not take patience to live the Christian life? Is it not, that word long-suffering, that means putting up with things, putting up with people. Don't you have to do that to live the Christian life? I'm glad it also says joyfulness. Yeah. Isn't it a joy to be a Christian? Mm-hmm. Even when you have to put up with people, even when you have to be patient, it's still a joy to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. It's still a joy to be a Christian. The Bible says this in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. My first point this morning is this: we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. Not, I'm talking about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about to be made meet, the Bible says. That means to be made fit. Or he's made us acceptable. How did He do it? Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself in my sermon. But He had to do it. He has made us meet to be partakers. In Psalm 107, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." We ought to be a thankful people. Amen. Christians, if nobody else in the world ought to be thankful, Christians ought to be thankful. He's made us acceptable to be partakers of an inheritance. Of an inheritance. We have the spirit of adoption, the Bible says, that whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." If you're a Christian, you've been adopted into the family of God. You're a child of the King. You have a reason to be thankful, you and I do. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 100, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." I had an old preacher years ago, back in the 80s. Well, it might have been the early 90s. But at any rate, he said when you pray, you ought to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I thought that was pretty good advice. When you pray to God, instead of running to Him and saying, "Lord, I need this, this, and this," why not start with thanksgiving? Yeah. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into, and you know something? We've all got something to be thankful for. The old hymn's right when it says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." You can look around, you wouldn't have to go too far to find people that are in worse shape than you are. And you can find people that are struggling more than you are. And you can find people that are less healthy than you are. What I'm trying to tell you is we've all got something to be thankful for. We've all got something that we can thank that, and that's in the physical realm, not even talking about the spiritual realm. We've definitely got something to be thankful for in the spiritual realm, don't we? Amen. We have much to be thankful for. Number two, we've been delivered. Verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." So not only do we have something to be thankful for, we ought to be a thankful people. But we've been delivered. We've been delivered. Now, I got to thinking about that, and I thought about delivering. You know, during this pandemic, there's been a big surge of delivery business. I mean, they'll deliver you groceries. They'll deliver McDonald's to you, Taco Bell. They'll deliver CVS or Walgreens. Everybody's delivering, right? Tyler, he's a truck driver. He delivers stuff.
Yep.
Well, the reason I bring all that up is this. In order for something to be delivered, it has to be taken somewhere. Right? And the Bible says here that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Mm-hmm. If you're still under the power of darkness, you haven't been delivered.
Man, that's right.
We've been translated. Translated. And I looked that word up. I'm a child of the 60s and 70s. When I heard the word translated, I immediately thought of Star Trek and Beam Me Up Scotty. But we've been translated, haven't we? That word means to be transferred or to carry away or to be carried away. Mm-hmm. So we've been delivered, and not only have we been delivered, we've been taken somewhere.
Yeah.
Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's rescued us from the grip of sin and delivered us from the fear of death.
Amen.
We've been delivered. We've been delivered. By nature, man is in a state of spiritual darkness. He's held captive by sin. A kingdom of freedom and a kingdom of light has been provided to us. In other words, we don't have to stay in that shape. The translation from darkness to light is a divine act. It's not something we could do. He has done it. He has made us. He has translated us. He has delivered us. Jesus said that by nature, men love darkness rather than light, didn't he? Men are helpless, they're hopeless. And as the songwriter said, we're bound by sin and nature's night. We're bound by sin and nature's night. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We're alive morally, we're alive physically, but we're dead spiritually. That's what the Bible says. And we need deliverance. We need deliverance. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But," I'm glad it says but "after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We have been translated into the kingdom. I have a kingdom ahead of me. If you're a Christian, we've been translated in. We're already there, by the way. We're sitting in heavenly places now. We've been, one fellow said, we're eating some of the grapes that climb over the wall. We're translated. My blackberry bushes have done really good this year, but no, you can't have any. I'm just kidding. I'll give you some after Evan makes me some cobblers, maybe. But I've got a fence, and I've got a bunch of berries on the other side of the fence. So if somebody wanted to, they could eat my berries that are on the other side of the fence. Amen. Well, we're not in heaven yet, but we get to experience a little bit of heaven now, don't we?
Amen.
We get to eat a little bit of the berries that's on the other side of the fence now. We've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We've been delivered, and we have an inheritance. We have a new kingdom, we have a new king. We have a new kingdom and we have a new king. We've been regenerated, renewed. delivered and translated, the Bible says. So, again, we have much to be thankful for, don't we? We have much to be thankful for. Number three, we have redemption and forgiveness. We have redemption and forgiveness. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, I understand, I don't have one in front of me, but I understand some of the new modern versions take out that phrase, through His blood.
Every time.
I would get rid of a Bible and have that.
Amen.
Amen. If it don't say through His blood, I believe I'd find me another one. Amen. I mean, why take that out? It's through His blood, folks.
Amen. Amen.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's through His blood. It's not good works. We have redemption and forgiveness. And it's not through good works. It's not through rituals or ordinances. It's not something that we can work and do. You know, I've had people tell me, I'll say, are you a Christian? I'll say, yeah, I joined the church, such and such. And you know, that's fine. I think you probably should do that, but not if you're not a Christian. If you joined a church without being a Christian, you've put the cart ahead of the horse, haven't you? Evelyn and I were in a little town outside of Richmond. She had to go to the hospital there. And we tried to find a church because we had to be out of town on Sunday. And we visited this little church. And it was weird. The whole experience was weird. But at any rate, the pastor was walking around barefoot in the congregation. And then instead of preaching, they had a play. And then they baptized some people. And I thought, well, if I endure to the end, I'll be saved. So I stayed. And when he got up to baptize, he baptized about three people, didn't he, Evan? Three or four people. And it was very odd. I've never seen anything like it. He took them down in the baptismal waters, and he said, now this is Sally, and she teaches kindergarten down at the school, and she's a member of the Lions Club. And she wants to join our church today. Ducked her underwater and brought her up.
Oh my.
And then he brought this other fellow up there, and he said, now this is Scott, and he's a member of the volunteer fire department, and he's a great guy. He's got four kids, and he and his wife Melissa, they've been coming here about a month, and he wants to join our church today. And he went, now I don't know if you know this or not, but there's something missing there. Now, I'm glad Scott's a member of the volunteer fire department. He's got four kids, and Melissa and him want to go to church. But I didn't hear nothing about him being saved. I didn't hear nothing about him trusting Christ. You understand what I'm saying? There's no sense being baptized if you're not a Christian, is there? There's no sense joining the church if you're not a Christian. We have redemption and forgiveness not through any rituals we do. Not through any ordinance we submit to, but through the blood of Christ. We have redemption through His blood. Titus, hold your place there and look at Titus chapter 2 real quick for me. Titus chapter 2. Yeah, I knew that was going to be an interesting service when the pastor was walking around with no shoes on. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. That's the same grace that brings salvation is teaching grace, isn't it? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If there was ever a verse in the Bible that says we ought to live different than the world, this one will do it. Won't it? We're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So we have redemption through his blood. He has redeemed us from all iniquity. He's redeemed us from all iniquity. Let me put it this way. He's redeemed us, number one, from the penalty of sin. Y'all agree with that? He's redeemed us from the penalty of sin. If you're a Christian, you don't have to go to hell. He's redeemed us from the penalty of sin. Number two, he's redeemed us from the power of sin. In other words, we're no longer in bondage. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we're no longer in a servant to sin. We're no longer in... We still sin, but we're not in bondage to sin. We don't live a lifestyle of sin. I was underneath a house working last year, and a strange thing. You see a lot of strange things, but there was plants under there still growing. Under this house, and it had been under roof for months, and there were still some plants under it. Now, the plants were real peaked and yellow looking. Have you ever seen that? Mm-hmm. They weren't getting any sunlight. If I remember right, science teacher Tim, they need chlorophyll. Is that right? Mm-hmm. See, Miss Rucker taught me a thing or two sometime or another. But those plants were yellow and sickly looking. But I'll tell you something about those plants. They were bent. Y'all know what a foundation vent is? The cinder blocks that go underneath the house, they got vents in them and the light comes. Those plants were bent over toward that light. Now I tell you all this to tell you that. Christians still sin, Christians still mess up, Christians still make mistakes, but the bent of our life is toward Christ.
That's good.
And we may even be kind of sickly looking at times.
Amen.
But the bent of our life is toward Christ. Do y'all understand that?
Amen. Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
He came to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify himself. He is purifying us day by day. Day by day. And you know, I don't know if it's an old, it might be an old country song. I don't know if it is, forgive me. But the saying is one step forward, two steps back. Well, you know, the Christian life's kind of like that. So in other words, I'm trying to encourage you today. If you feel that way sometimes, don't get too discouraged, because it's like that for all of us.
Amen.
We're still fighting the world and the flesh and the devil.
Yep.
And we need the Lord. That's why, remember the text I read at the beginning? We need His strength. We need His power. We need His knowledge. We need His wisdom. We have redemption and forgiveness. The Bible says he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Again, the Bible says, I think it's in the book of Hebrews, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. In other words, it's a done deal. You know, Evan and I are... We're not real educated folks, and we talk hickey. My sister had a graduation party for her daughter and son yesterday, and my brother-in-law was there, and he was acting like a crazy guy. And he had a do-rag on his head, and he was just goofing off and everything. And his His sister looked at me and said, "Where is he from?" And I said, "Tater Creek." The reason I'm saying is sometimes I'll ask him and I'll say, did you turn the oven off, or did you turn the air up, or did you turn the washer on?" She'll say, "I done it." Now, she knows better than that, but this was something we say. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ done it.
Amen.
He sat down at the right hand of the Father. It is finished. It is finished. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. The old hymn says, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Tis done, the great transaction's done." Happy day. It's a happy day when you trust Jesus Christ, isn't it? It means the great blessing of redemption. We've been redeemed. It means forgiveness. It means forgiveness of sins. The Word of God says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We're forgiven because of Jesus Christ. We're not forgiven because of us. You know, I think, if I understand it correctly, the Catholic Church makes people do penance. But you know what? You can't get forgiveness by doing penance. Forgiveness is only in Christ, isn't it? It's only in Christ. Our redemption was purchased with a great price. It was purchased with a great cost and sacrifice. It was purchased through His blood. Through His blood. If you've been redeemed, you've been redeemed, the Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Bible again says, "By His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Not only is redemption, it's eternal redemption. It's eternal redemption. Do you understand why we have a lot to be thankful for? How about the fact that the Son of God came to this earth and lived as a man and died, submitted Himself to the death of the cross for our sins? He took our hell. Isn't that something to be thankful for? One of the hymns that I love so well is, "Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me." He's a precious Redeemer, isn't He? He's a blessed Redeemer. I don't know. Everybody's got problems. I talk to all of you, and you've heard my problems. But I want to tell you something. No, regardless of all the things that's going on in this world, what's going on in your life, we have something to be thankful for. We've got a Redeemer. We've been made fit. We've been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance. One of these days, this is all going to end, isn't it? You know, the world thinks we're fools. Did y'all know that? Can I tell you something? 1 minute in eternity, and it's all going to be different. 1 minute in eternity, and you're going to find out that they were the one that was foolish.
Amen.
I'm glad that the Lord saved me. I'm glad that the Lord saved me. Let me ask you in closing, is He your Redeemer? Have you been delivered? Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you praising Him? Are you praising Him? Are you thanking Him for what He's done for you? That's what we're going to do in heaven, amen. But we may as well go ahead and do it here. You may as well be thankful here, right? We need, as Paul was praying for those people, wasn't it? He said, I pray that you'd have the strength to live the Christian life. That you'd have the knowledge to live the Christian life. Nothing's changed since Paul walked the earth. We still need it, don't we? We still need it. Les, you and Ginger, come ahead. Thank you for your attention this morning.